seated. We have more than 1 hour this session, so we're going to finish by 4:35. So we have about 70 minutes. So it allocated to three persons, then over 20 minutes. So you can have a 20 to 25 minutes of utilize your sharing your testimony to glorify God. So we can invite now Rinaldo, Brother Rinaldo, to share his testimony.
If we can all pray in silence before we begin. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I testify. Praise be to God's name for giving me this opportunity to tell of His grace and mercy in my life. Today I would like to testify about two incidents in my life where God was with me in every step of the way. These two incidents are according with the theme of our YASC, which is my church and I. The first instance is where I had to first make my made my very first proposal in a church congregation meeting. So over the years, I've been going to the True Research Church in Canoga Park. In fact, that's where I'm from. And over the years, I've observed that True Research Church in Canoga Park is struggling with evangelism. And it always pained me a lot to see that our church is struggling with evangelism. I've put this in my prayer, and I've asked God, what can we do better? What is it that we can do more to spread your word? Because it always pains me whenever there's evangelical service and I only see maybe one or two, sometimes no visitors at all. And I know that that's me failing God. That's us as a church not doing our job, the job that God entrusted us with most. And so after putting this in my prayer, one day I received a flyer in my mailbox, and it said that we can have the option of putting an advertisement in our nearby mall. And this advertisement can be about your restaurant, it can be about a business, and most importantly, it can be about church. And when I read this flyer, when I examined it, I thought this is a pretty good idea. This is something new we can try. And so I put this in my prayer, and then afterwards I proposed it to the church council members in Canoga Park. A few weeks later, they got back to me, and they told me that the idea is good. But then they told me to also present this idea in front of a congregation, in front of the whole congregation in the next congregation meeting, which is the following week. As soon as I heard that, I think my heart stopped beating because I was so nervous. I couldn't even imagine me going up there, because I was under the impression that I didn't have to go up there and present this idea. I was under the impression that I would just have to do all the research and give all the materials to a church council member, and they would present it, not me. And so throughout the whole week, I was making my spiritual preparations as well as making my whole presentation, doing research about this idea. And then on the day of the congregation meeting, the prayer before I had to present, I remember I prayed to God. I said, "Lord, I'm a wreck. I don't even know how I'm gonna make it up there to the podium. But if you can just make me kind of like the two telephone plastic cups connected by a string, the small little project I made in elementary school." If you can just make me like that, use me like that today. Today I am the two telephone plastic cups connected by a string. With your majestic voice and you speaking on one end and your congregation on the other, that's all I ask. I'll be okay. It's the same kind of prayer I made throughout this whole week, right when I found out that the YISC asked me to testify today. And after I made my presentation, I couldn't watch the voting process because I was still so nervous. I came out and I stayed in the back, and the usher told me what the result was. And they told me that most of the members were for the idea and that it unanimously passed. When I heard that, I was overwhelmed with joy. Not because I feel like I made that happen, but because I feel like we're finally doing something to improve our evangelism. We're finally moving forward, and that the church is ready to recommit its efforts into evangelism after not seeing results for so many years. And after I made my presentation during the lunchtime, everyone came up to me and commented that I had a great presentation. In my mind, I didn't think so. I didn't even think I did that great. Why? Because for me, it was all a blur. I didn't even remember what I said or what is it I did. I knew it wasn't me up there that was presenting. And if you had asked me now, what was the idea or what did you say to convince the congregation members, I wouldn't know it. And I've never felt happier to be the two telephone plastic cups connected by a string, because I know that God was listening to my prayer. He saw how nervous I was, and yet he just led me the rest of the way. And so for a lot of us sitting here right now, we're wondering, what is it that we can do more for our church? My advice to you is to keep on praying and watch. Watch for the moment where God will inspire you with an idea that he knows you'll be able to take on, an idea that he knows you'll be ready to make the first step, and when you make that first step, he'll guide you the rest of the way. See, I keep on thinking, why did God put this flyer in my mailbox? If he put this flyer on my mailbox, then he must have known that I could take on this idea. And that's kind of the mentality I had preparing for my presentation. And if this is a good idea, then the only way that the church members in Canoga Park can be convinced about it is if I told them. So for all of us sitting here right here, we think that we have some great ideas, but we might be too timid or too shy, or we think that somebody else is going to come up with the same idea again. You've prayed for God to improve a situation in church, and therefore God has inspired you with an idea. You have to take this idea and make that first step, and then afterwards God will lead the rest of the way. The second incident that I like to share is how I received my job right now, the job I have today. At the start of this year, I've been wondering what the next chapter of my life would be and how am I going to start my career. But I've always been comforted by the fact that God has already built the path of your life, and that all you have to do is literally trust in God and rely on him. And so I've been volunteering at the AV team of Canoga Park Church for over 9 years. At the time where I first volunteered to be part of the AV team in Canoga Park, the AV team was very short staffed because we had a lot of members relocating. And I thought I was decent with computers, and any help I can provide would be my service to God. After all of these 9 years, finally a brother, I guess he must have noticed it, because he came up one day to me in the AV room and he said, "Would you like to join my team? You'll be doing exactly what you're doing in the AV team, except you'll be doing out of my company." And at first, when I first heard that, I thought this was a great opportunity for me to expand my knowledge, as well as to help out my mom financially. And I thought about how I got this job. And this job, it didn't came to me because I was pursuing it. It's as if God just brought it to me as a blessing, and all I had to say was yes, and I got the job. And then I thought, how is it that I'm able to get this job with no job experience as my first job? And my mom pointed out to me, and she said that, do you see how God remembers your service in the AV team? He saw that you've been helping out the AV team for over 9 years, and yet he's able to turn that back around, turn all the talents and all the experiences that you develop in the AV team, turn that around and gave you a job in real world. And when I thought about that, I thought, wow, this is a great God. Because usually when we serve at church, we develop the talents that we're going to use at church, outside of church, right? And then afterwards, we bring it up in front of God, and we say, here's my talent, God. Use it for whatever you can. And I thought that that's the only way that we serve God, and that's the only way that we're going to get blessed by God. And I've sort of put God in a little box because I said that God will only remember what we do in church at the end, at the very last day, when we get our heavenly rewards in spiritual realm. But that's not true. That's not the only way that God will bless us, and that's not the only way that God will remember our service. A lot of times when we have one perspective of God, we sort of put him in a little box, whether or not because we doubt him, or because we ask God if he remembers us or if he listens to our prayers. And yet I tremble and I'm fearful every time God crushes the little box I put him in, because he'll show me that this is not the only aspect you need to know about God, that there's so much more about God than you have to discover. And that's what I want to invite you all to see, is that if we have doubts right now in our faith or in our service, bring them up to God, and he'll tell you a lot more about him than you'll know. And that's kind of where what I experienced this past year. This past year I experienced that in everything that happens in your life, God will tell you so much more about him than you'll ever know. Like for me, I learned more about God, and I was blessed with a job. And so we have to realize that the God that we serve is an all-seeing, omnipotent, and great Almighty God. And so may God continue to renew the love and zeal we have to serve him. And I hope that each and every one of you can discover God in this YASC, as well as be inspired with an idea on how to improve your church, how to improve your spiritual home. May all the glory be unto God's holy name.
I'm present, thank God. And Rinaldo now is a grown-up to be the holy worker in the Church of Kanuga Park. I think evangelism is our ultimate goal for all the brothers and sisters. We have to pray to God, and also God can open the way of salvation. Man cannot do that. Only God can work with us. Also, time is all depends on God. But we can prepare. We can pray to God. We can focus on that. Surely God opened the way. And that is a good experience. So getting a job, I think of most of your issue now, because the first job is very important. Once you get the wrong job, then you turn around, you are detoured, and you're quite tough your life turned out to be. Don't get any job, but job is the one you can see the future. So the job is the one can help you for the holy work, and also balance your life too. Look at the life of the Nehemiah. the helping this job to bring all the people to Israel, I mean, from the Jewish back to the, where is it? It's Jerusalem, to rebuild the wall. That such a job can really contribute to the holy work a lot. So I hope you can, if you are seeking for a job, I think it's just, once we work for God, there's a reward is great every time, so definitely. Now we can invite each and one. Is it brother? Sister? I'm sorry, and Sister Huang, that would come here to share the testimony.
Before we begin, let's bow our head and pray in silence. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bear testimony. Actually, when I was asked to testify, I had no idea what to say, and I felt very unworthy to be here. But in prayer, God really reminded me of all the many great things that He's shown me in my life. And so because our topic for this YSE is my church and I, so I thought I would share about this. And so I guess some of you guys probably know that I'm from the Dominican Republic. And although I grew up there, and I've lived there for many years, but I never really felt quite at home there, because it's like every day you walk out, somebody or something makes sure to remind you that you're a foreigner. Yeah. So that's a big disconnect right from the beginning, so that's one. And then also because I never really made a personal connection with God until much later in life, probably college, although I'm several generation TJC, but that didn't help. So growing up, it was really hard for me I would physically be at church and physically be there singing hymn and reading Bible and joining service and all. But it's hard for me from the bottom of my heart to feel that this is my home, that these people are my family, they're part of me. And it's really hard to connect them in that way. So after I finally made a connection with God, I went from having no motivation to having some motivation to be more involved. But then I also went through a long period of having the wrong motivation. Like our class this morning, if your motivation is wrong, then it's so easy for you to see all the little faults and all the imperfections at church. Anything could trigger an emotion, or anything could make you think, oh, why this, why that? And it's like a car with the wrong fuel. Someday it's bound to malfunction, or a house with a weak foundation. Earthquake comes and, you know, it will crumble. So today I would like to share a little bit about how God taught me about His church, and how my relationship with church has evolved through the last few years. And I'm going to do that through sharing a few testimonies from the brothers and sisters in the Dominican Republic. So the first brother I wanted to share about is Brother Jacinto. So Brother Jacinto is about 60-some year old, but he looks like he's 80-some because he was suffering from a lot of illnesses. He was really weak. He lives with, I think, his daughter, and he was placed in this back room inside of the house where there's poor ventilation and it smells because he cannot go to the bathroom by himself. But he was so eager to hear the word. And he for many years he wanted to be baptized, but church, after discussing, always tells him to study the word more. And when he is okay, understand more about the word, then we'll baptize him. And I remember 1 year, maybe 5 years ago, finally, the pastor said, okay, we're going to baptize you, because he was so weak physically that it's better to baptize him than to let him go without being baptized. And so we went over to his house, and we went through the 10 basic beliefs and asked him one by one, do you understand, do you believe? And he agreed to all of them. And we were a little worried, because that entire week, it was like raining every single day. And the village where they live, so some of you might have been there, there's no paved roads. And it gets really muddy when it rains. And it's just, for somebody in that kind of physical condition, it's hard for him to travel and to be baptized. There was a prayer that I remember deeply, because when you're on a missionary trip, you usually have to pray with the pastor for like 1 or 2 hours a day. And I remember it was just the pastor and me, and the pastor said something to me that I remember very clearly until this day. He said, let's pray so that God has mercy on these people, so that they can hear the gospel and be safe, and so that whoever needs to be baptized can have this opportunity to be baptized. And that was really shocking to me, because in my mind, I was more like on all the mechanics of, oh, if it rains, then what do we do? Do I wear rain boots or whatever? You know, I never thought of it that way, that we need to pray to God to have mercy on them. And very miraculously, so it rained Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and came Saturday. The sky was so clear and blue. It was beautiful. And we went to the baptism site. It was like a postcard. It's like your typical Caribbean beach postcard. It was so beautiful. I almost forgot it was a baptism. and I just stood there and I watched Brother Jacinto, how he slowly walked into the water in that gorgeous sky and beautiful clear water and white sand. He slowly walked in. I think he needed some help. He needed a lot of help getting out of the car and walking to the beach. But when he walked out after the baptism, he walked out by himself. And I remember we took him home, and he held our hand one by one, looking at our Asian faces, and he's like, you're my sister, you're my brother. And I was just like, seriously? He lives in a rural area, in a very rural area in the Dominican Republic, where they probably rarely see foreigners. And then here he is, like, holding the hands of all these, like, bunch of Asian people who can't even speak Spanish really well, and saying, you're my brother, you're my sister. And I was just like, you know, the sky, that's not me doing anything. That's God. This person being touched and being able to say my brother and my sister to us, that's God. So that left a really impacting memory in my heart. So the second person I want to testify about is Brother Floro. Some of you guys might have seen him, and he has a testimony on YouTube if you guys are interested. But just a summary on my perspective on his testimony. To me, Brother Floro is, like, I've always known him since my teenage years. To me, he was just like, oh, another brother that came to believe, and oh yeah, I see him at church every week. I was good. But it's not until, like, much later on, a few years back, when I heard his testimony it was really shocking to me, because, so basically what he testified about is that ever since young, he's always been bothered by demons, like in his sleep. So he had these nightmares where he cannot wake up, and the demons even spoke to him and trying to lure him with wealth and with many other things. But his reaction is always to go pray to God first, and instead of like, hey, yeah, I'll take it, which I can see many people in the world doing that. And so he, I guess throughout his testimony, was really impacting to me is his heart of, even before he really knew who God was, his heart was so focused and so reverent to God. He really wanted to find this God. And he always prayed, God, please not let my soul go to hell, even though he, even before he went to any church, even before he knew who God was. And what was shocking to me was because all of this was happening even way before my family moved to the Dominican Republic. There was no TJC there. But God already heard him. God already knew there's a person crying out in the wilderness for his name and for salvation. And his testimony is really, really wonderful. He started going to a church, he would read the Bible and think, okay, this church, everything is perfect, except that, you know, why are they worshiping idols? This is not according to the Bible. And just because this one thing is not according to the Bible, he decided to leave this church that was like a family to him. And that kind of determination was just amazing to me, because just a couple weeks after, we had the first service to the locals, because before that we were always preaching to the Asians, but the Asians were always lukewarm. They felt it was good, but why so strict? So the first time there's a pastor from the U.S. with a translator, and they came, and the first time we openly invited the locals, he was there, and he was among the two people who received the Holy Spirit. Like, he knelt down and he received the Holy Spirit. And so, I guess it was just then that I realized that, you know, when people ask me, oh, why, and I guess in their mind they're thinking, why in the world did you move to the Dominican Republic? And if I were to give the facts, I would just go with the, you know, oh, yeah, because a family member was invited by a friend, and then he invited us, and then we went there, and blah, blah, blah. But after, I think after all these events, and after I heard his testimony, it suddenly made clear to me that God knew that there's someone crying out for his name, and he has prepared his salvation. He's even way before we knew anything, and way before things happened, he already had this master plan of salvation to these people, and was already paving the way. And so it really taught me a great lesson, and to revere God, and to also respect my brother. Most of our members there are pretty... they receive very little education. They're of very low social status. Some of them cannot even read. But not that it matters. But every time I think back of how God has planned, just put so many pieces together, all these chess pieces, to make this happen, to make him get the word, and all the people there that God saw that needed God. It's just, you cannot do anything but to respect God's doing and this brethren, that because God loved them so much. If you're interested to hear the complete testimony, you can ask me for the link. I can send it to you. And, picture number one. I actually have a picture of Brother Floro. if AV. AV, picture number one, please. Okay, so maybe we can look at the pictures later. And so the third person I wanted to testify about is Sister Amparo, which someone was recently just asking me this morning about her. She's been truth-seeking. She truth-seek in our church for like a year, and then she got baptized. And this is Brother Floro, his wife, and two kids, and they have a third kid now. I couldn't find a more recent picture. But yeah, he's always joyful in all circumstances. That's a man after God's heart. Next picture, please. Oh, it's so small. But yeah, Sister Amparo is supposed to be on the front row with the striped top. Yeah. So she's a very happy lady. She's very simple faith. And I remember the first time I saw her, and we were in the family Bible study, and I was looking at my dad talking to her, and my first reaction is like, wow, how can my dad's Spanish not improve even after 30 years? Can she really understand that? But very miraculously, I saw Sister Amparo, she's like, yeah, I know, I understand. I was like, really? And then I realized that it's not from our abilities or from our talent. It is really God touching her heart to have that kind of determination. I mean, to be honest, there's so few people in our church that, you know, you don't really go there to be in a social environment to socialize. Our food is so simple. It's pretty, a lot of time it's just like bread and butter. There's nothing to go for, you know. Not like U.S., you know. So for them to have that kind of, although we don't have that many truth seekers, but for our truth seekers and brothers and sisters to feel that kind of, certainty and that kind of, it must have been God. It is God. So I was just really, really touched. And I remember that time we knelt down during one of the family services, and we prayed. And by the end of the prayer, I suddenly heard this like really loud tongue. Somebody praying in tongue really loudly that I haven't heard before. And I was just like, "Huh, what's going on?" But I kind of knew. And then when we stood up, it was Sister Amparo. She had received the Holy Spirit. And unlike many of the people that receive the Holy Spirit, usually start with like really small voice and really kind of half rolling tongue. Her tongue was like really loud. Like you can hear from like all the way in the back. And when we stood up and we looked at her, she was so astonished that she couldn't even get up. She was just like kneeling there, and she was just like, "Oh, God loves me so much. Praise God." She was like praising God, and she was like kneeling there for 5 minutes, and everybody like have already stood up. And she was just like so joyful, so joyful. I'm not the only one who saw this, so if anybody wished to know more, there's another sister that went with me that time. And it was just, in all of these experiences, you feel very clearly that we are nothing. None of this is by us. We're just a bystander. We're just a chess piece that God uses, a very humble tool that God uses to achieve his will. It is God doing all the master plan. It is God touching their heart. It is God choosing them and bringing the word to them. And It's just every single time it humbles me more and more. And so let's turn to a verse, Mark chapter 13, verse 27. Mark chapter 13, verse 27. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. And so I guess after all of these experiences, and not just in DR, I've seen this in every church I've been, every time I hear people's testimony, it's just, I can't cease to be amazed at God's great doing. And to really feel that when the Bible says that God is not partial, it is true. And just like the holy city of Jerusalem described in Revelation and Ezekiel, the four walls, the four sides of the city is of equal length, with equal amount of doors, open to all directions, with the name of all 12 tribes written on it, which is the chosen one. So the chosen one will come from all four winds, like we just read, from every part of the earth, and there's no partiality to it. And it's just very, very humbling experience. And it was this, the collection of these kind of like testimony and incident that really filled me with wonder and taught me little by little to revere God and to understand God more about his doings and to respect and love more this group of people that God has so painstakingly planned out to save and bring into church so that we may be one. And this is this connection and this bond is just very mysterious and wonderful that I cannot explain. And sometimes we'll, not just other people, but we ourselves, we would complain about church and about people and about XYZ. But I think it is seeing the work of God and also thinking back at how unworthy we are and the wonderful things that God has done for us that I guess gives us the right motivation, which is to humble ourselves in front of God and to love God and men, so that we have the right motivation to serve. And lastly, I want to share one small experience. I remember there was one time in our back in Taiwan. It was a RE class where we were about to go out flyering, and I wanted to invite somebody who was more experienced in flyering. So I invited this sister who was very, like, you look at her and you know she does her, you know, her spiritual cultivation a lot. And I went to her, and I'm just like, and I know she goes to the hospital to evangelize every week. So I just went to her, and then I started, you know, the first thing that came to my mind, again, all the mechanism was like, can you teach the kids how to say the right words and what to do if people reject them and blah, 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 blah. And the sister just stood silently looking at me. And when I finally finished, she's like, Yichen, okay, so the first thing we need to do is to feel that we are unworthy and we need to pay God's love and that you're preaching to this person because you love this person so much, you want their soul to be saved. And then I was like, oh, that's right. Like, I got all the logistic, but I missed out on the one single most important thing. And I think that's a lesson that I'm continuously trying to learn. And so may all the glory and praise be unto God's name. And last picture. It's a little bit small, but Dominican Republic is has rebuilt the church, and we're finally having our church dedication this July 17th, and it's not in conflict with NYTS. So we invite everybody who is willing, have time, and are interested to come. No Spanish skill needed. The missionary trip this time around will be July 8th to July 17th. 17th will be the dedication, and there will be spiritual convocation too. And afterwards, we'll take everybody out to the Caribbean beaches that I described earlier. So may all the glory and praise be unto God's name.
I wish I want to go there that time. It's Caribbean beach I liked. I never been there. It is wonderful testimony about Sister Huang. I'm sorry because I didn't know it's a system for out there. But it is a blessing that through the, you know, the one by one, these people from the Dominican Republic, these native people come to the Lord. They find out the truth. It's not a man can preach to them, but God already arranged ahead of time. His chosen people bring to the Lord. Especially end time, are we getting closer? I feel like after 50, I feel I'm getting old already. But you guys are young, and you can work hard, and you can preach the gospel to this country and throughout the whole world. And also, it is a good experience. You can go this kind of the country, or you know, any India or Africa or any kind of country. They have a simple mind, a simple faith. How the gospel to be preached to them? How these people come to the Lord? Once you can see that, it becomes a great your own. We can say spiritual career. You know that you can understand God and you can build upon your faith truly, whom we believe the true God. God continue to guide this church in the Dominican Republic, that we can continue to pray for the gospel to be preached continually there. Now we can invite the sister, Sister Kim from Korea, to share the testimony.
Amen. 예수 그리스도 이름으로 간증 드리겠습니다.
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, I give a testimony.
제가 오늘 아침에 점심에 간증을 하기로 결정이 돼 있어서 준비를 하지 못한 상태에서 간증을 하게 되었습니다.
So I was notified to testify this morning around lunch. So I'm not actually prepared.
이해해 주시고 그동안 하지만 하나님의 은혜를 얘기하지 않으면 안 될 것 같아서 이 시간을 빌어서 간증을 여기 모인 성도님과 함께 나누려고 합니다.
But I strongly had an urge that I really needed and wanted to share God's blessings to everyone here.
일단 오늘 오게 된 동기부터 말씀을 드리면 저는 한국 여기 한 10년 전에 하이스쿨하고 UC 얼바인을 다니고 바로 잡을 가져서 한국을 가게 됐습니다.
So just to give a brief background of myself, I went to high school here, went to UC Irvine, and 10 years ago I moved to Korea for work.
제가 영어를 하지만 아직 테스모니에 대해서 준비가 되지 않았기 때문에 통역을 말씀을 같이 하겠습니다.
So even though I speak English, I'm not prepared for the testimony, so I just asked Angela to translate.
10년 동안 한국에서 일을 하게 됐는데 10년 동안 일하는 그 한국 여러분 10년 동안 그 여기 보는 사람들 대부분 한 칼리지를 다니거나 아니면 칼리지를 발로 졸업해서 잡을 가시는 분들이 대부분인 것 같습니다.
It seems like everyone here seems to be in college and are working youth.
그래서 저는 young adult가 아니고 그냥 adult인 것 같습니다.
I may not be a young adult. I just feel like an adult.
하지만 10년 동안 일을 하면서 제가 나누고 조금 더 일을 해본 입장에서 말씀을 드리려면
So as I've worked 10 years in Korea and as an adult I have something I want to share.
저는 직장이 조금 멀어서 새벽 5시 반에 일어나고 6시에 일을 가기 시작하면 집에 돌아오는 시간이 10시 정도 일을 해서 워크홀릭 같이 일을 했습니다.
Because my commute was pretty far, I would wake up at 5:30 and get to work and come home around 10 p.m. like a workaholic.
그래서 Monday through Friday는 그렇게까지 일을 하고 토요일에는 하루 종일 온전하게 예배를 드렸습니다.
So Monday through Friday that was my work my lifestyle and on Saturday I was at church all day.
10년 동안 그렇게 일을 하면서 전 열심히 살았다고 생각을 했습니다.
That's how I lived for 10 years and I felt like I was living hard and to the fullest.
그리고 안식일에는 1부, 2부, 3부, 4부까지 다 예배를 드리고 그다음 RE치처까지 하고 집에 돌아오면 한 7시, 8시 그 정도 됐습니다.
And on Saturdays I would attend the first service, second service, all the way to the fourth one, have RE class and then come home around 7 or 8.
그렇게 되면 일요일 같은 경우에는 휴식을 취하거나 아니면 교회 액티비티가 더 있을 경우에는 교회 가서 또 그런 식으로 일을 해왔습니다.
So Sunday I would just rest at home or sometimes even go to church again if there are certain events.
제 삶에 있어서 휴식은 별로 없었던 것 같습니다.
So I feel like I didn't have much time to rest or have a break in my life.
그러면서 하나님께서는 정말 인간이 행복하게 살길 원하시는데 하나님이 정말 원하는 삶인가요? 라는 그런 마음속에는 그런 생각을 했습니다.
So then I had a question in my heart because I know God wanted us to live happily and just to live happily, but am I really living a happy life?
일을 열심히 하고 교회는 열심히 다니지만 제 마음에는 뭔가 결핍이 된 것 같다는 느낌이 있었습니다.
Yes, I've worked hard and I went to church hard, like diligently, but I just felt like something was missing.
그렇게 이제 저희 한국의 가족은 저희 엄마, 아빠 이렇게 저 이렇게 세 가족이 사는데 한 번도 너무 바쁘게 서로 살다 보니까 한 달에 한 번 같이 식사를 한 적이 없었습니다.
So even at home, I live with my parents, but I feel like all of us were living in such a busy life that we never actually ate a meal together.
왜냐면 제가 너무 일찍 집에서 일을 가고 늦게 집에 돌아오는 시간을 했고 주말에는 또 교회를 가기 시작해 가고 저희 아버지 같은 경우에는 카톨릭을 지금 다니시고 있기 때문에 또는 저는 저희 엄마랑 같은 취지일 수 있지만 제가 사역을 하는 담당한 교회는 멀었기 때문에 얼굴을 마주치는 시간이 거의 없었습니다.
That's because even in the weekends my mom and I go to a separate TGC in Korea, so I don't see her on Saturdays. And my dad is not our church believer. He's a Catholic, so he would go to church by himself on a Sunday. So I feel like even in the weekends, we never had the time to gather.
그래서 커뮤니케이션은 메신저로 아니면 전화로 해서 했었던 것 같습니다.
So we would just communicate with each other through our phones and through our
그렇게 살아가는 가운데 한 10년 동안 회사를 다니고 어느 날 일요일 달이 되었습니다.
So that's how I lived for 10 years and one day in January.
아마 저는 몸적으로도 힘들고 정신적으로 좀 힘들었던 것 같습니다.
I think I was physically tired and mentally tired.
한국의 1월은 매우 춥습니다. 한 화씨로 14도 밑에 내려간 날씨였는데요.
And in Korea, January is really cold and it's below zero Celsius.
Yeah, zero Celsius, 14 Fahrenheit, about something. 그렇게 추운 날에 하루는 아직까지 기억이 나는데 1월 20일이 수요일이었습니다.
I still remember it was January 20th, a very cold morning on a Wednesday.
똑같은 루틴 한 가운데 저는 일을 가려고 이제 집에서 6시에 나왔는데 1월 달이면 매우 깜깜한 새벽이었기 때문에 차도 없고 사람도 별로 없는 그런 아침 새벽에 집에 일을 가려고 회사를 가려고 일을 나왔습니다.
So like every other day, I woke up at 5:30 in the morning, went to the same route to get to the work bus.
그런데 저는 항상 똑같은 길을 가는 길이었는데 제가 가는 길에 제가 이렇게 가는 횡단보도를 걸어가고 있었는데 차가 와서 저를 쳤습니다.
And it's exact same route, same road I've been going for 10 years. And once I was walking past a crosswalk, a car came by and hit me.
그리고 나선 저는 쓰러졌습니다.
So then I fell onto the floor.
그 차는 저를 보지 못했기 때문에 SUV였는데 너무 어두웠기 때문에 저를 보지 못했고 우회전을 하면서 저는 차 밑에 깔렸고 그러면서 큰 사고가 났습니다.
Because it was actually dark and cold, once I fell to the floor, the driver of a SUV didn't see me, and so he turned right, going over my body.
제가 지금 이렇게 멀쩡하게 서 있지만 저는 그때 많은 상처를 당하고 많은 뭐랄까 부상을 당했습니다.
I may look healthy and normal now, but at that time I had a lot of injuries and a lot of injuries.
그리고 나는 그 운전자는 저를 발견하고 한참 후에 발견을 하고 저는 119로 이송이 되었습니다.
So later the driver found me on the street, so he called the 911.
그래서 저는 emergency 그 병원에 대학병원에 수송이 되었습니다.
And I went to the emergency room.
그리고 들어갔을 때 이제 부모님께 집에 연락이 돼서 부모님이 곧바로 그 대학병원으로 오게 되었습니다.
And once I went to the hospital, they contacted my parents, and they came right away.
지금부터는 저는 어떠한 기억도 나지 않기 때문에 저희 부모님께서 말씀한 토대로 전달을 하려고 합니다.
And the story from now on, I don't remember, and I was not conscious. So everything I tell you now is from stories from my parents.
저는 많은 사고가 당했고 사고로 인해서 기억도 잃었고 그때 차를 치는 순간부터 정신을 잃어서 그 다음 날까지 깨어나지 못했습니다.
Because it was such a big incident, ever since I was hit by the car, I don't remember. I was not conscious and did not wake up till the next day.
한 하루 그 사고가 아침 6시 경에 새벽 6시 났었는데 정확히 제가 기억을 찾은 거는 그 다음 날인지 아마 한 12시간 후나 13시간 후에 제가 병상에 있는 거를 제 자신이 느꼈습니다. 병원에 누워 있는 거를 알게 되었습니다.
So after the next day I woke up and I found myself on the hospital bed.
그리고 부모님께서 경남아 너가 사고를 당했다라고 말씀해 주셨습니다.
And then my parents told me, Irene, you just got in a car accident.
그리고 제 모습을 보니까 모든 것이 다 이렇게 붕대로 싸져 있는 모습을 발견했습니다.
And then I saw my body and I was all wrapped up and casted.
시력도 그때는 제대로 보지 못했기 때문에 병원에는 거울도 없었거니와 누구 하나 이렇게 다쳤다고 말해준 사람은 없었습니다.
And since there was no mirrors, I actually couldn't see how I was, and no one has actually told me how bad my injuries were.
근데 이제 시력도 그때는 잃었었고 전신이 왼쪽에 깔렸기 때문에 온 몸이 다 사지가 묶여 있는 채 병원에 누워 있는 제 자신을 보았습니다.
And because I couldn't see because of my eyesight and because all my left body was injured, I was tied to the bed.
그래서 의사가 와서 설명해 주기는 갈비뼈 6개가 나갔고 그러니까 fracture가 났었고
Doctor told me my 6 of my ribs were fractured.
제 왼쪽 얼굴은 다 한 몰이 되어 있었습니다.
And my whole half left side of my face was
측본이 나가 있는 상태.
Fractured, broken also.
그다음에 어깨도 다 나가 있는 어깨도 나가 있는 상태고.
All my shoulders to my arms.
왼쪽 발도 다 나가 있는 상태였습니다.
All my left legs, they're all broken.
그래서 저는 너무 갈비뼈가 아파서 숨도 못 쉬고 이렇게 뭔가를 물을 마셔도 너무 고통스럽기 때문에 그대로 이들이 이렇게 가다가는 죽나보다라는 생각이 들었습니다.
And because my ribs were all fractured, I couldn't. It was hard for me to breathe and drink water, so I just felt like, oh, I guess this is how I'm gonna die.
그리고 아무런 생각이 없었습니다. 정말 이렇게 하다가 사람이 죽구나라는 생각도 들어요. 아파서 고통스러운 것도 있었지만. 움직이지 못해서 이렇게 사람이 욕창이 나서 죽을 수도 있겠구나라는 생각이 들었습니다.
And I just felt like because nothing was going in my head except thinking, oh, there's nothing I can do, and this is how I can actually just die like this.
그리고 나서 제 소식이 저희 가족이 이제 미국에 있는데 부모 언니들이 이틀 후에 한국으로 들어왔습니다.
And my two sisters in America have came to Korea.
저를 그 시간을 통해서 제가 한 사고가 나서 3일 후에 이제 언니들이랑 만나고 그 다음에 사고 때문에 가족들이 어쩔 수가 없이 병원에서 모이게 되었습니다.
So three days later, my sisters and all my family gathered in the hospital, and I feel like we gathered in one place.
가족들이 너무나 먼 곳에 살아서 베케이션을 내기도 힘들고 한 자리 모이기도 힘든데 사고 하나로 인해서 한 자리 모이게 되었습니다.
Usually it's really difficult for us to gather, and since everyone is scattered around the world, I feel like through this one accident, we were actually here together in one spot.
물론 제 몸이 좋진 않은 상태였지만 그 사고로 인해서 가족들이랑 많은 대화를 나눌 시간을 가졌습니다.
Even though I may have been physically injured, but I just felt like we had a lot of communication and we talked a lot among the family.
특히 저희 아버지와 저는 아버지가 항상 24시간 계속 지켜주셨기 때문에 아빠랑 많은 대화를 했던 것 같습니다.
And I really thank my father who was next to me 24 hours. And I felt like I had a lot of time to talk to him.
그렇게 한 집에 같이 10년을 살았는데 대화를 그렇게 못 했는데 병상에 누워서 대화를 너무 소중하게 했었던 시간이었습니다.
I lived with him for 10 years, but we didn't say a word. But at that time, it was just so the time was so precious to have the time to talk to him.
그래서 제가 느낀 게 정말 하나님께서 너무 필요한 시간이기 때문에 사고를 통해서 허락해 주시고 가족의 소중함을 일깨워 주시지 않았나라는 생각이 들었습니다.
And I truly feel like it was just God giving me this opportunity to have this time with my family and my parents and just to teach me
그리고 일주일 사고 후에 이제 프랙처가 났기 때문에 어깨 수술이라는 수술 날짜를 받았습니다.
And a week later, I was scheduled for a shoulder surgery.
저는 수술 그 전에 사고라는 경험이 한 번도 없었기 때문에 수술이 얼마나 어렵고 얼마나 아픈지 사전에 그런 걸 잘 몰랐습니다.
Because this was my first accident, I didn't know how painful or how hard or difficult it is to go through a surgery.
그래서 맨 처음에 어깨 수술 날짜를 받아 놓고서 수술 끝나면 집에 갈 수 있겠구나라는 생각했었습니다.
So I just thought, oh, after quick surgery, I can probably go home.
근데 그건 아니었습니다.
But that wasn't the case.
수술을 하게 되어서 맨 처음 4시간 정도의 수술이 걸리기 때문에 전신 마취를 했었습니다.
Because it was a 4-hour surgery, I had a full body anesthesia.
수술을 저녁 10시 시작해서 새벽 2시에 깨어나서 다시 회복실로 들어왔습니다.
I went to surgery at 10 p.m. and came out at 2 a.m.
수술 끝난 후에 전신 마취에 대한 고통을 여러분들 아십니까?
I don't know if you've ever went through a full body anesthesia.
전신 마취의 고통은 정말 제가 컨디션이 안 좋았는지 모르겠지만 너무 아프고 깨어났을 때 그 페인이라는 게 너무나 힘들었습니다.
That pain is really indescribable, and the moment I woke up, I don't think anyone can describe it.
첫 번째는 정말 목이 마른 것이었습니다.
First symptom is that you're really thirsty.
정말 목이 너무 마른데 아무것도 마시지 4시간 동안 물도 못 마시게 하기 때문에 거주로만 입을 축여줄 수 있었습니다.
You're really thirsty, but you can't drink water for the next 4 hours, so you can only wet your lips.
그래서 시간은 4시간 동안 흐르기까지만을 정말 숨죽여서 지켜볼 수 있다. 조금 있으면 1시간 후에, 4시간 후에는 물 먹을 수 있겠구나, 2시간 후에 물 먹을 수 있겠구나라고 기다렸습니다.
So all you're thinking in your head is like, oh, 1 hour, 2 hours left till I drink water. And you're just counting every minute to drink the next water.
아, 정말 예수님께서 십자가에 돌아가셨을 때 요한복음에 아, I'm thirsty라고 말씀을 하셨던 내용이 그게 너무나 그 병상에서 느껴졌습니다.
And as I was laying there, I really the verse when Jesus said I thirst on the cross have popped up in my head and I felt like I can kind of relate to it.
아, 예수님께서도 이렇게 목이 마르셨을까?
And then I thought, oh, this is how Jesus was thirsty.
내가 정말 목이 마르다라고 하셨고 운명하셨다고 했는데 그 고통을 조금이라도 아, 느낄 수 있었을까라는 이게 감히 제가 그 예수님이 목마르셨을까라는 생각이 들 정도로 너무나 고통스러운 게 기억이 났습니다.
Even though I probably can't compare to what he went through, but I just thought, is this the same kind of thirst that he had?
그러나 전 4시간 후에 물을 마실 수 있다는 희망이 있었습니다.
And at least I had the hope that I can drink water next and 4 hours later.
그리고 4시간 후에 정말 물을 마시고 하, 정말 너무나 감사했습니다.
So 4 hours later when I drank the water, I thanked God.
그리고 나서 그 일주일 후에 제가 얼굴에 다시 지금은 잘 보이지만 다시 여기 아르피셔 본을 삽입해야 하는 그런 광대뼈가 골절이 돼서 다시 수술 날짜를 받았습니다.
So a week later I had another surgery for my face where I had to implant a artificial bone.
그 전까지는 한 번도 아, 이런 사고가 왜 일어났을까라는 원망을 하거나 그런 적은 정말 없었습니다.
Until that time I never wondered or I never felt resentful to why I had to go through this accident.
오히려 이 사고를 주셔서 교회에서 저를 위해 기도하고 가족들이 모이고 있음에 저는 아프지만 어떤 뜻이 있겠지라고 생각이 들었습니다.
I actually thought, oh, maybe there's a purpose, and you know, there are people praying for me, and I thought that it was pretty meaningful.
왜냐하면 정말 모든 교회가 저를 합심해서 저를 위해 기도하고 있는 것을 저희 엄마나 저희 가족들을 통해서 듣고 저도 그 마음에 어떤 평안이 느껴졌기 때문에 한 번도 이런 사고에 대해서 원망을 한 적은 없었습니다.
Because I felt the true peace and then I felt and heard that everyone in church, everyone in Korea was praying for me, so I never really felt angry towards this accident.
근데 3차 수술 날짜를 받아놓고 다시 이렇게 전신 마취를 해야 하고 고통이 있는 게 이제 아니까 다시 아는 고통에 대해서 느끼고 다시 이 수술을 해야 하나라는 생각에 갑자기 그 운전자가 너무나 원망스러워졌습니다.
And already going through the experience or experienced the pain of the surgeries, once I had to go through the third one, I couldn't stop myself just but to think resentful toward the driver.
정말 그 저의 얼굴 모형을 뜬 그 해골 스컬프처를 갖고 와서 당신이 사고 난 곳이 여기고 여기 밑에는 시신경이 많이 지나가기 때문에 수술을 잘못했을 때 시력을 잃을 수가 있고 그다음에 더 많이 지금은 괜찮지만 많이 부었었는데 얼굴이 계속 부을 수가 있다라는 그런 사이드 이펙트를 가르쳐 줬습니다.
Because the doctor came to me and said, under the cheekbone, it has a lot of optic nerves, so that you can actually lose your eyesight, and you might swell a lot. And he was just telling me all these bad symptoms.
그렇게 만약에 알고 나니까, 그리고 또 전신 마취를 했을 때 그 목마름을 알고 있으니까, 아, 이 수술을 또 해야 해서 나는 이렇게 고통을 당해야 되지. 하나님께 원망은 하지 않았지만 그 원인 제공을 했던 운전자가 너무나 원망스러웠습니다.
Hearing all that and knowing that I had to go through all the thirst and the pain again, I couldn't stop but to kind of complain to the driver since he's the cause of the accident.
그러나 제가 이렇게 resentful 하고 그 다음에 원망을 하는 것이 과연 맞을까라는 생각에 저희 언니가 침대 위에서 이렇게 기도하는 모습을 보았습니다.
And as I thought, am I okay to have these kind of thoughts? But then I saw my sister next to me praying for me on the bed.
언니 기도하는 모습을 보니까 그런 원망스러운 마음이 싹 가려졌습니다.
And seeing her praying for me, all that resentful and all that complaints went away.
내가 어린아이처럼 이렇게 원망을 하면 안 되겠구나. 가족들은 정말 많은 고통을 당하고 아픈 저를 보면서 많은 고통을 하고 있을 텐데 그런 원망을 하면서 수술을 받으면 안 되게 그런 모습을 보여주진 말아야겠다라는 생각이 들었습니다.
I feel like I shouldn't be complaining and I shouldn't act immature and I shouldn't disappoint my family members who are praying earnestly for me and who are trying to support me.
그리고 나서 저는 날짜를 또 받아서 3차 수술을 들어가서 다시 나왔습니다.
So then I went to the third surgery and came back.
이번에는 얼마나 목마를지 알기 때문에 모든 가족들한테 거즈를 다 준비해주고 있으라고 먼저 수술을 임했습니다.
Since I knew how thirsty I was going to be, I told my family members to get all the wet towels ready.
그리고 나서 왜냐하면 몸의 컨디션이 계속 안 좋아졌기 때문에 마지막 3차 수술을 하고 나서는 전신 마취에서 깼을 때는 토하고 그 다음에 정신을 잃을 정도로 몸이 많이 안 좋았습니다.
Because I was already physically ill when I got to the third surgery and came back, I was actually in a more worse condition, and I was throwing up, and it was actually worse.
마지막 수술을 하고 돌아가서 하루가 이틀, 삼일 지냈을 때 몸이 조금씩 회복이 되는 것을 제가 느낄 수 있을 만큼 하나님께서는 보여주셨습니다.
Nevertheless, I think for a day or two after the surgery, I can feel and see how God is recovering me.
제가 이렇게 조금씩 회복되는 것을 저만 느끼는 것이 아니라 저를 위해 기도해 주시는 성도님들을 많이 느꼈기 때문에 이를 통해서 하나님이 정말 회복을 해주시는구나라는 것을 보여주셨습니다.
It wasn't because I knew that everyone was praying for me, and I think not just myself, but everyone around me was able to experience how God was recovering me day to day.
그리고 나서 저는 두 달 후에 퇴원을 하게 되었습니다.
And 2 months after I was dehospitalized.
그리고 나서 저는 회사를 통해서 많은 한 번도 10년 동안 일을 하면서 짧은 베케이션을 받아봤지만 지금 6개월의 휴가를 받았습니다.
And once I got out, my company actually gave me a 6-month vacation, and for the last 10 years, they have never given me such a long vacation.
하나님께서 정말 필요한 때에 이런 베케이션까지 저한테 허락해 주시구나. 그리고 그것을 느꼈습니다.
I truly felt like God has given me this opportunity and this chance at a perfect time.
하나님께서는 정말 필요한 것, 사람의 형편을 아시기 때문에 필요한 것을 허락해 주시는구나. 가족이 다시 관계가 회복되는 것을 알려주셨고 필요할 때에 제가 필요한 때에 휴식을 주시는구나라는 것을 보여주셨습니다.
God really knows what we need and He will provide for what He wants us. For me, example, He wanted me to rest, so He gave me time to rest. He wanted our family to reconcile and to recover, and He has given us that also.
하나님께서 저한테 가르쳐 주신 또 다른 레슨은 내 몸이 내 것이 아니라는 것을 가르쳐 주셨습니다.
And another lesson He taught me was that my body is not my own.
왜냐하면 저의 몸은 하나님의 것이기 때문에 제 건강이나 이런 것들을 잘 관리해야 되는 책임이 있다고 말해 주셨습니다.
Because my body is not my own, I just felt like I had the responsibility to take care of myself and to be healthy.
물론 좋은 것을 먹고 이런 것도 중요하지만 정말 제 마음이 제 몸이 하나님의 것이기 때문에 앞으로 일을 하기 위해서는 온전하게 하나님께 영광을 돌리기 위한 생각도 내게 아니구나라는 것을 느꼈습니다.
Not just eating healthy or taking care of our bodies, but just really understanding and knowing that our body is for God's glory and that we need to live our life for His glory. So our thought process, everything, we have to dedicate it to God.
그리고 또 다른 거는 하나님께서는 정말 가족의 소중함을 말씀해 주셨듯이 알게 해 주셨듯이 관계 회복도 하나님께서 정말 주관하시는 것을 느낄 수 있었습니다.
And I was also able to experience how God is actually in control of everything, even in reconciling any relationships. He's the one in control.
그런 의미에서 에스겔.
So I want to turn to verse. 이스겔.
에스겔 26장.
Ezekiel chapter
26. 26절에 읽어 보면 제가 읽어 36장 26절입니다.
36 verse 26.
I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I remove from your heart of stone and give you heart of flesh. 하나님께서는 굳은 마음을 제거해 주신다고 하셨습니다.
God said he will take the heart of stone away.
내 노력이 아닌 하나님께서 그런 환경을 만들어 주셔서 그동안 일이나 관계가 허물어졌던 것도 정말 이 사고를 통해서 저를 불쌍하게 보는 사람들의 마음을 주셨기 때문에 굳은 마음을 제거해 주셨습니다.
I feel like he was able to touch everyone's heart and he was able to remove the heart of stone to people around me and myself.
그리고 또한 하나님께서 보여주신 하나님이 여러 가지의 캐릭터가 있는데 평화의 하나님, 사랑의 하나님, 자비의 하나님, 그 다음에 긍휼의 하나님 여러 가지 캐릭터 중에 사랑의 하나님을 알게 해주셨습니다.
And we all know God has, we all know God's characters and he has a lot of different characters. But the main character he taught me was love.
사랑의 하나님이라는 거는 많은 설교를 통해서 많이 들었지만 제 마음을 그렇게 터치를 못 제 마음이 너무 굳었기 때문에 사랑의 하나님을 느낄 수는 없었습니다.
We also hear that God is love through different messages and we heard it many times but for me I don't think I was able to really understand it.
하지만 이번 사고를 통해서 사랑의 하나님을 내가 사랑의 하나님을 라는 것을 보여줄게 하고서 충분히 저한테 사람을 통해서 보여주셨습니다.
But I felt like God was directly telling me I am God, I am love and I'm going to show you my love through this accident and through different people around me. He has shown me so much love.
하나님께서는 신이시기 때문에 저와 커뮤니케이션을 할 수는 없지만 사람을 통해서 역사를 하시구나라는 것을 알게 주셨습니다.
Because God is spirit, we can't see him or communicate with him, but I really felt God was communicating with me through different people.
제가 두 달 동안 병원에 있으면서 하나님의 사랑이 정말 이겁니까라고 할 정도로 하나님의 사랑이 정말 무한하구나라는 것을 느꼈습니다.
So the 2 months I was in the hospital, I felt so much love from everyone. I thought to myself, is this really the same love of God's love? And then I was able to really experience it and immerse in it.
하나님의 사랑을 말로 표현할 수는 없지만 하나님께서는 그런 표현할 수 없기 때문에 사람을 통해서 아니면 어떤 환경을 통해서 저한테 제가 느낄 수 있게 제 눈높이에 맞춰서 보여주시는 것을 느꼈습니다.
Because I feel like since we can't fully comprehend God's love and we can't fully see him, he was coming down to my level and just showing me what his love is and so I can understand.
그리고 사고를 통해서 또 하나의 깨달은 점은 하나님께서 많은 레슨을 주셨는데 제 라이프에 대한 퍼스펙트가 조금 달라진 것 같습니다.
And another lesson I learned from God is to have another perspective of life.
그전에는 제가 제 중심을 주고 모든 사고를 했었습니다.
So before I would always see my life as me as a center and everything that occurs is related to me.
제가 셀피시하거나 그러진 않은 성격이지만 그래도 하나님의 시각으로서 저렇게 봐야 할 수 있겠구나라는 것을 한 번 더 여러 가지의 시각을 통해서 볼 수 있는 것을 느꼈던 이유가 생명이 너무 소중하기 때문입니다.
I may not be like a selfish person, but it had me give me a second thought to every event now to think and to see things in God's perspective. And the main thing was to see how precious life was.
나는 이 사람과 릴레이트하거나 커넥션이 없지만 이 사람도 너무 소중하고 우리 이 채플에 앉아있는 한 사람 한 사람의 생명이 소중하고 하나님을 모르는 사람이라도 정말 밖에 나가 있는 어떤 사람이라도 생명이 너무 소중하다는 것을 깨닫게 되었습니다.
There may be someone that I have no relation with, I have or can't relate to, but just knowing how precious that life is And everyone is chapel. Like every life is so precious.
내가 그 사람의 이름을 알지 못하지만 여기 있는 형제 자매님들의 생명이 너무나 소중하다는 것을 알게 되었습니다.
I may not know everyone's name here, but I know for sure that every life in this chapel is also very precious.
그게 하나님의 마음이 아닐까 생각이 됩니다.
And I believe that's the heart of God.
하나님은 정말 생명을 소중하게 생각하시는 분입니다.
God really cherishes every life.
그리고 제가 지금은 아직 몸이 온전히 회복된 상태는 아니지만
yeah, I may not be fully recovered.
아직은 몸이 지금 말하는 것도 좀 어눌하고 아직 그 감각 이상, 그러니까 feeling numbness라고 하죠. 아직 뭐 왼쪽에 있는 팔이나 다리나 이런 게 아직은 차고 덥고 이런 것을 아직 느낄 수는 없는 상태입니다.
So still, I have difficulty talking, speaking sometimes, and part of my left body is still numbed. Can't feel coldness or hotness.
아직 하나님께 이런 작은 시련을 주셨기 때문에 기도를 더 해라라는 어떤 신호인 것 같습니다.
But I believe this is a sign for God telling me to pray to Him more.
제가 아까 그 perspective가 바뀌었다고 하는데 저는 하나님께서 이런 시험을 주신 게 너무 감사합니다. 제가 자고하지 않고 하나님 앞에서 겸손해질 수 있도록 기도를 계속 할 수 있도록 그런 환경을 만들어 주신 것 같습니다.
I just said that God gave me a new perspective, and the new perspective is really to see how He humbled me, and just to see everything, and just to give thanks and everything.
제가 뭐라고 살려 주셨는데 제가 아무것도 한 것 없는데 그냥 살려 주셨는데 정말 제가 이런 거 하나 작은 거 하나에 너무 얽매이고 작은 거 하나를 얽매여서 기도하고 그런 것보다 정말 그냥 살아 있음에 감사할 수 있는 마음을 주셨습니다.
And I believe He gave me the heart to just really cherish everything and not be anxious about one little tiny thing. That probably means nothing to me like a few days later, but to really just see everything in a broader viewpoint.
하지만 저는 나아가 몸이 많이 나아지면서 또 다른 것은 다시 이 교회를 나가는 순간 또 많은 템테이션에 놓이게 되고 어떤 템테이션에 놓였을 때 다시 옛날처럼 그렇게 돌아가서 제 원망을 할 수도 있는 그런 육신이 약한 약한 자아가 있다라는 것을 알고 있습니다.
And I know that even though this is a new beginning, I might end up going back to the same lifestyle, or there's still the same temptation, and every circumstance hasn't changed. So I really hope I can keep the same mindset.
다시 한국에 돌아가서 일을 하게 되면 또 크레이지하게 일을 하게 되겠지만 그 가운데 또 이런 하나님과의 관계가 깊은 관계를 이룰까봐 걱정이 되긴 하지만 그렇기 때문에 하나님께서 조금의 그 페인을 남겨주신 것 같습니다.
Because when I go back to Korea, I'm still going to be very busy, but I believe God wants me to remember. And to cherish this relationship with Him that I learned. So I think He's leaving me some little pains here and there.
물론 이거는 저의 하나님과의 저의 개인적인 관계이지만 개인적인 관계지만 너무나 그거를 다 쉐어할 수 없다는 그 깊은 하나님의 깊은 뜻을 쉐어할 수 없다는 말로서 표현할 수 없는 게 조금은 답답은 하지만 하나님께 정말 감사하고 살아계시는 하나님이라는 것을 말씀을 드리고 싶습니다.
And because this is a personal relationship with me and God, and there's so many things that I experience and I want to share, but it's difficult because it's between me and God. But then one thing I want to share to everyone is that God is a true living God and He's true. God's love, yeah.
시간 제가 많이 올게나이즈해서 그 테스모니 준비를 하진 못했지만 마지막으로 한 구절을 여러분과 나누고 싶습니다.
I want to share one last verse with everyone.
물론 저의 고통과 시련은 욥이 당한 그 고통과 시련이랑 비교할 수는 없지만
And again, I can't compare what I went through with what Job went through.
욥기서 42장에 보면 욥의 해결가 나옵니다.
But if we turn to Job chapter 42.
맨 마지막 42장 4절을 5절을 보면
Job 42 verse 5.
Can you read for me?
32 verse 5.
Chapter, Job chapter 42 verse 5. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. 여기서 봤을 때 욥이 보진 그 전에는 듣기만 했는데 이제는 주를 본다고 말을 했습니다.
So in the previous verse, Job says that I've only heard of you, but now that I've seen you.
이것이 바로 제가 느꼈던 욥의 마음을 조금이나마 이해할 수 있는 것 같습니다.
And I think I can kind of understand what Job is talking about in this verse.
앞으로 우리가 살아가야 할 뭐 직장이나 아니면 뭐 결혼이나 아니면 더 많은 것들이 숙제가 많이 있지만.
So there are a lot of things ahead of us. It can be career, it can be marriage. Or...
있지만 하나님께서는 정말 우리에게 각자에게 이만 어떤 플랜이 있고 그걸 통해서 하나님께서 쓰고자 하실 때에 정말 쓰시고 하나님의 계획이 있다는 것을 계획이 있음을 생각하시기 바랍니다.
I want everyone to know that God has an individual plan for every one of us, and He will lead us.
이상으로 간직을 마치고 하나님께 영광을 돌리고 모든 영광을 하나님께 돌리고 간직을 마치겠습니다.
This concludes my testimony, and may all the glory be unto His holy name.
Amen.
그래서 thank God. During after the accident and after a short time later, her sister sending me the message about her accident, and then later she recovered a little bit, and then sending us as the messengers we can talk each other and find out how much she have gone through the suffering and difficulties yet. She could overcome all this with the faith. This is spiritual maturity, I feel. And also this time she said she come to visit in USA. Say, I was surprised because I never expect this fast to recover. Because once you see the picture, you know, when she had the accident, the wrapping with all was beyond, actually. And really thank God that God just mercy upon her and also love her so much. She have gone through all this, you know, the teaching that she learned from the Lord is amazed. Importance of the family and also the suffering of the Lord Jesus and the recovering of the relationship. Then understand that we have our own, but we are not belongs to us, not even thought. And also understanding of God as a true loving God. And also the importance of our life. That is the most precious. And also that God has a plan for each one of us. Let us also remember we are in there. And also through this suffering and also go through this process, God lead her to life to be humble-minded. And so Job chapter 42 verse 5 as a conclusion. And also I learned that our faith to be mature enough to reach, to be our eyes to be open to see God. And I think that's a Christian life goal to be. So we can finish with a solemn prayer. And we can take the 10-minute break and then we can have an afternoon prayer session. Let's all pray in silence.